Hello, George Hallford. Another great show we have today on local matters. Good friend and a hero. We talked about that earlier. Philip Baker. Philip, we're glad to have you here today, and we're just going to learn more about you. This show is really about the who, not the. We can talk about what, but
sure,
it's
sure.
really about the who and getting to know you better. Your heart, your growing up, what you did. Only thing we ask is don't spend a lot of time in high school, but we'll go through. But
certainly.
Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, George. You've been a dear friend for many years, and certainly I'm honored that you would invite me to be on with you, and always good to spend time with you and get to catch up.
You're one of my favorites, so I'm prejudiced.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
You and I are people of faith, and Billy Graham once said, you know, the three things in life are who am I, where did I come from, and where am I going? And that's sort of going to be the
certainly
where we go. So let's start with who is Philip Baker? Let's start at birth.
Okay.
And let's go on through high school and college and get you up to the present day. And just share with us just memories and family and whatever you want to talk about.
Well, certainly. Well, again, George, thank you for having me out. It's good to be here. And, you know, you and I met about 20 years ago.
Hard to believe. Yeah.
When you were with the chamber and I was coming back to Cookeville after being gone for a few years with Farm Bureau. And so we had the pleasure of being involved together with the chamber, and that was fun. But, you know, I came to Cookeville first in 1986, and anyone in my family who had gone to college had gone to Tennessee Tech. And so I had the good fortune of growing up near here in the Upper Cumberland in Smith County.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up there and also had the good fortune of growing up on a dairy and tobacco farm. And few folks can claim that. And
that's right.
And there are some unique experiences and certainly some unique opportunities that a child gets to have, and a young man, a young person who gets to grow up on a farm in that setting. And so that was a great way to grow up, and I certainly appreciate that more than I did. Appreciate it now more than I did then. But much of what shaped me were some of those early experiences getting to grow up on the farm.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about this in a moment. But one day I'm at the chamber, and of course you're a past chair of the chamber. We'll talk about that, and been very a leader, a real. Quiet or unsung, but what you do every day to make a difference on a lot of different fronts. Yes, let's go back. When I first met you, I was thinking you were Gordonsville and Baxter and the western end of our county.
True.
So I've already learned something new about Philip Baker in Smith County.
So, you know, our children grew up in sort of the western side of the county. Two children, my wife and I together have five children. Two of those kids went to Upperman High School. Going back a little bit further, though, my family on both sides, my mother's side and my dad's side, both settled in a small community, rural community of New Middleton.
New
Middleton in Smith County. And it's just a wide place in the road. It would be kind of the equivalent of driving through Bangham. If you're local and you're familiar. But I grew up there. And, you know, one of the things probably or perhaps that shaped me as a young person that really prepared me for late in life were a lot of those lessons that, you know, that I learned growing up on a farm. Yes. But growing up with godly parents,
faith-based, yes.
who love the Lord and love their family. And as I have said, to folks in the past, you know, when you grow up in that setting on a farm, every day is take your son to work day. And you spend a lot of time, you know, specifically a lot of time with my dad and then with my mom as well. And with three siblings, an older sister, an older brother, and a younger sister. So I'm one of four. And And so, you know, growing up like that with parents who loved us and provided for us, mm-hmm. and wanted the best for us, and providing that opportunity to learn some of those life lessons that you know I was able to learn early. My dad passed away in December of 22, and we missed him greatly.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. And lived there on the farm his entire life. He and my mother, prior to his passing, had been married right at almost 59 years. Lived in the same house on the same farm where our family has been since 1891, actually, there on that farm. And I have an older brother who continues that farming tradition with his son and his daughters also there. And so that tradition continues. And so that tradition is important to me. It's important part of who I am, and but godly parents who love their family is that those two characteristics probably have shaped me more than anything.
George Hoffer with Philip Baker, and I've already learned a lot about my good friend just in a few minutes. So Philip, that is really great. Family, you know, you said that family values, what we have lost as a country. With just the urbanization, mobility, and the story I have similar. I got to listen. I can't talk today. But I had similar, not on a farm, but the similar growing up in church and the family and roots. But how many generations you said?
I think that would be – I think my nephew would be generation number 7, I believe. And I lose the number there, but I think that's right. And but to your point about family, it's true. And you know, I think in our culture we struggle with with who we are.
Yes.
With our identity, and fundamentally, I think there's something there fundamentally that's lacking in a lot of people's lives. You know, our identity. I know you're a Christian. You know,
yes,
I think our identity is found in Christ.
It is,
and it's not found in a comparison that oftentimes we make with our neighbor and with their friends and with the folks that we see on social media. And I think in our culture, you know, we're struggling with that as a culture, as a society. And so, I probably, as you grew up in small town Mississippi, kind of comparisons weren't made are today. But again, when our identity is found in Christ,
that's who we are.
That's correct. That's who we are at our very core.
The old Sunday school sermon, when train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. It's true. We were blessed.
Yeah.
So growing up, you had brothers, and then you went on to Tennessee Tech. Talk about, would you give us a recap of your days at Tech? And
so I grew up again with my background and had the good fortune of being involved in an organization that many people are familiar with, the Future Farmers of America, and that
is an important organization. I've learned more about it since I've been knowing you.
Sure. And you know, that is a leadership training organization,
yes,
that is preparing young people, young men and women, for careers in agriculture, which span a pretty broad spectrum, really, from production agriculture to processing, marketing, and research. And so, you know, there's about 300 careers in the spectrum in the agricultural field.
Wow.
And so high school agriculture programs and FFA programs and chapters prepare young people for futures in that field. And so I had that opportunity to grow up through that organization and learn a lot from that organization. And that really sort of drove me to come to Tennessee Tech to study agriculture. Agricultural education specifically, and I planned to become a high school agriculture teacher.
Wow!
And while I didn't go down that particular path, I certainly enjoy being involved supporting young people and supporting high school programs, agriculture programs, and FFA chapters. But I came to Tennessee Tech to study agriculture and become a high school agriculture teacher. But growing up, Farm Bureau has always been an organization that, since my earliest memories, our family has been involved with. And, of course, many people think of Farm Bureau because of Farm Bureau insurance. But really, Farm Bureau is much
broader than that
with the education and advocacy work that's done by Farm Bureau. So I was aware of Farm Bureau growing up, and our Farm Bureau agent growing up was a family friend.
Sure.
And so late in college, I began to consider perhaps there were some other opportunities out there. And
that's how you
immediately that's how I ended up with Farm Bureau. Near graduation at Tech in 1991, began a conversation with Farm Bureau, and the rest, as they say, is history. It'll be 33 years this year.
Before we close that chapter, you're a very humble, modest friend. You were president of the student body at Tennessee Tech.
I was fortunate to get to have that opportunity, and certainly that was a great opportunity and a good way to make a lot of friends at Tech and across the state. And God's really given me some great opportunities in my life, and I'm very, very thankful for those.
But the seven generations and graduated from Tech and agriculture and got to, you know, president of the student body and would stay well. What a blessing. This is where you're supposed to be, my friend.
thank you. Cookeville, as you well know, Cookeville is a great place to live, work, play, study, raise a family, and certainly that's been a pleasure to be able to be here for our children to be able to call Cookeville home and grow up here and to have some dear folks in their lives and Cookeville coaches, teachers, mentors,
people who make a difference,
who've made a difference in their lives. Certainly has been a blessing.
Well, you're making a difference, Philip. And when we come back, I want us to pick up there,
sure,
and talk about. We'll segue and get on into the present day, but really talk about things you've been doing and meaningful things like chairman of the board of the Chamber of Commerce and some other things. But we're going to come back and do that. I'm George Hallford with Philip Baker. And we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue, across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
George Hallford again with Philip Baker. And where we left off, let's talk a little more about Tennessee Tech and your experiences and the agricultural, how big that is throughout this state,
Well, certainly, you know, in Tennessee Tech, we're, as you well know, George, we're so fortunate, you know, to have Tennessee Tech in our region, really anchoring our region. And Tennessee Tech provides a high quality at college education for students at a reasonable cost. And
that's right.
There are families throughout the Upper Cumberland where the parents, grandparents perhaps, and certainly the children have benefited from an education at Tennessee Tech. Mine happens to be in agriculture, but, you know, we're cranking out students at Tennessee Tech who are coveted in business and industry around the state and the Southeast. And certainly agriculture is one of those great schools, the School of Ag at Tennessee Tech, with a lot of resources, thanks to the generosity of some folks. Millard Oakley comes
Miller
to
Von
mind
Oakley,
in
yes.
our conversation. But Tennessee Tech, great institution. I have a great appreciation for my degree from Tennessee Tech and the benefit that Tennessee Tech brings to our community and to our region.
You know, it's a national and international university. But
it is.
I've heard the number. I don't have it. But like the high percentage of students who work, who have part-time jobs, this is a hands-on university.
the graduates from Tennessee Tech are known for their work ethic.
That's right.
And we hear, we see that at Farm Bureau with Tennessee Tech grads that we employ. We hear that from other employers as they talk about the value of a tech, what a tech student brings to their organization. And, you know, my experience is that Tennessee Tech students know how to roll up their sleeves and
That's
get
right.
to work.
Nursing school, vets, all the pre-things Tennessee Tech students score very, very high as these entrances into professional schools.
Sure. And practically any way you can measure the success of a university, Tennessee Tech holds its own and measures very well. And so we're all very fortunate to have Tennessee Tech here.
You think we'll get it okay? Dr. Odom will be okay with all that.
I think we got it. Would hope so.
We could go all day about Tennessee
sure,
Tech.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, let's focus on present day, modern era. You graduated. You went to work with Farm Bureau.
Sure.
Focus on that aspect up to the present. In the present.
So I am fortunate to be with Farm Bureau and to have spent now almost 33 years with
wow.
Farm Bureau.
Wow.
And so that's been, that's been very rewarding. Our job at Farm Bureau, we talked about the advocacy and education efforts that we do on behalf of agriculture. Much of what I do, obviously, is involved with our insurance operation. Yeah. And so, you know, what we are able to do is to be there for people and meet them at their time of need. Because sometimes tragedy strikes and the uncertainty that life brings causes a need for someone to come alongside, put your arm around, your arm around someone and tell them it's going to be okay and give them that assurance. And so we have the benefit of doing that. So I've done that now for a while. And so that's been very rewarding. It's been a great career. When you think about, ministering to people, caring for people in their time of need, we think about caring for people. And you and I have talked about this before, spiritual needs, physical
yes,
needs,
yes.
Just being there for folks when uncertainty comes. And so we're able to do that at Farm Bureau. And so it's been a very rewarding career. So
let's focus on your church just a little bit. Stephen Street, I know you are a leader in the church.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind.
Got a great pastor and great group of people.
Stephen Street Baptist Church is a great church, and I've been fortunate to be there since 1992, I guess.
Wow.
I think more than just a great church, we have a church with real missional focus.
Yes.
In this community, and so we enjoy loving on our community and spreading the gospel of Jesus, and we do that in our community and around the world. And so when I think about my personal faith journey, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Philippians 4, and over Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." And so, with that reminder, I know that I think about that in my business. I think about that in relationships. The peace that comes from a relationship with Christ, and then a relationship with Christ leads to an involvement in the local body and involvement in a local church. And so very fortunate, great friends that I love. My wife Kim and I are involved in a great small group there with folks that we enjoy just doing life together.
Sure.
Our children grew up there. So we have five: Mitchell, Nick, Abby, Morgan, and Sarah. And they benefited greatly by their involvement at Stephen Street and the influence of great folks that we've come to know and love through a church family.
You know, the community of faith, our ministers, our churches, I've never seen anything in my travels and service quite like it. We're very fortunate to have a a foundation in this region. I'm not just talking about Cookeville.
So, to your point, you're exactly right. And there are so many great churches our community. And the way our churches work together across denominations, but our churches join hands with one another. For example, there at our church, we partner with several other local churches to fill needs and to meet needs in our community through our care center. Lots of other churches that are doing great work like that. When we see things strike our community like the tornado back a few years ago, we see our churches come together. And so the community of faith here in Cookeville, our community of churches and the work that's being done, the gospel that's being spread through those churches are one of those great factors that, again, makes Cookeville a great place to live and to raise a family.
It's a foundation. And
absolutely.
It transcends into our government, into our school system, into our business. Just a solid, and that's why we're here. It's home. We found a home.
And, absolutely.
That's why God sent us here. You know, we're going to spend the next segment really talking about, hopefully, to Cookeville, Putnam County, the Highlands, the upper today. And what do you see as a still a young businessman, Philip? What do you see in the future coming forward? And we're going to talk more about just I look around, for instance, and I'm just seeing unbelievable construction. I'm seeing I know things are long term; they don't happen overnight. But we're seeing. And you're seeing that and experiencing that, are you not?
Sure, sure. And, you know, the number of people who are moving here, you know, from other areas because they enjoy our quality of life. And so I think that, you know, the challenge for those of us who, you know, are involved in our community and like so many, you know, care for our community and care for the future of our community, you know, we want to provide, we want to see that, you know, high-paying, quality jobs are
right.
available. People may not be familiar with the term. Some are that brain drain, but we, you know,
true.
In so many communities, your talented young people leave the community to find good jobs. And
let's
and,
stop right there, and we're going to come right back and pick up Philip Baker with George Hofford.
Back,
George Hofford, Philip Baker. We covered a little bit about Philip, who you are. Where you been? What's going on? Now let's look in the crystal ball and talk. It's talked about today and the present, but you and I were talking. In our tenure together in friendship, we've watched Cookeville, Putnam County, and the Upper Cumberland just blossom.
We have. And there are some things, of course, you were at the chamber when Academy's Distribution Center came here. And I think most reasonable minds would agree that that was that big project.
That showed that you could locate an urban-type facility in a community that has can offer
sure.
services.
Sure, and it was really perhaps the impetus that began several projects, you know, that have come to Tennessee Tech. Maybe we back up past the Academy project to talk about the industrial park. You know, that the city and the county, Highlands Business Park, that the city and county had the foresight to establish that really sort of attracted Academy. And so, I think as we look to the future, we think about there are a few things that we think about as a community. Certainly, we continue to think about quality jobs high paying quality jobs, jobs beyond service type jobs, but jobs that provide benefits and a good living wage to raise a family. I think that's certainly something that we all feel strongly about. Affordable housing continues to be something that that many of us feel strongly about, and perhaps you know that's a challenge for young people today. Mm-hmm. I understand, and as a father of five,
it's on your mind.
It's certainly on my mind, and then with those challenges, growth that's coming. You know, there are obviously challenges that maybe put stress on our community, and you think about infrastructure and logistics. And so, you know, we have to remember, you know, you, those of us who've raised kids, and you remember back, you know, when you're growing up, you know, there are always growing pains that come.
Growing pains. That's a good term.
And what we are fortunate, I think what we're fortunate to have here in Putnam County and in Cookeville and Baxter, all good in Monterey, is we've got quality leadership. Reasonable leaders, well-intended
yes.
leaders who are helping to guide and manage that growth. And then, you know, I've been fortunate to be associated with a lot of people that care deeply about their community, because a thriving, growing community is made up of a citizenry who cares.
That's exactly right.
And we have that here in Cookeville. And you they're friends of yours, they're friends of mine. We're just very fortunate to have that the quality of the citizenry that we have here in Cookeville.
Well, for instance, the school system.
Absolutely.
We have an excellent public school system, not only in Cookeville and Putnam County, but throughout. And so we got to be very careful as we grow. That, you know, growth happens in a hurry, and the infrastructure lags behind. It's an evolution. So growing pains is a great term for probably where we are right now.
Sure, and growth is going to continue. People are attracted to the quality of life that we have to offer here in the Upper Cumberland in Putnam County, and so, you know, our challenge is to continue to stay as best we can ahead of that growth, and so, you know, from a municipal standpoint, you know, utilities,
yes, thinking ahead,
and roads and those kind of things, and so again. Very fortunate to have leadership that is thinking to the future, and so just feel really fortunate to be here, to be a part of that, to be in a for our business to be a part of this community, and to get to call this community home. I've lived here now longer than I've lived in New Middleton, where I grew up.
And God's will, correct?
Yes, certainly. As I tell folks, I haven't bought a grave plot yet, but I don't plan on going anywhere. I plan
That's
to be
right.
here for a really long time.
You know, Dr. Oldham was one of the president of Tennessee Tech, made a great statement about, you know, we graduate all these engineers and accountants and all these professionals, everybody, and then we send them off to other communities to work. SAIC was a major to have those kinds of jobs right here in Cookeville. We competed with Oak Ridge, Huntsville. More and more, we want to give our communities, our people, less and less of a reason to leave our region for goods and services.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's sort of been per capita income, raising that. As we grow, as quality grows.
And so these young men and women who grow up here, who are molded and influenced by the culture and that we have here in the Upper Cumberland, you know, we'd love for those folks to stay here, or certainly many of them,
maybe six or seven generations.
Yeah,
probably.
Sure. and so to your point, you know there are from skilled trades. There's opportunities for those who want to be in those high tech sectors, the ATCs, the REIs, the SAICs. Those are all local companies. Oh. You know, there are opportunities there for folks who want to be involved. Work for a school system that values education. Certainly, there are opportunities there. And so yes, to your point, we want to create an environment here where young families, you know, they come here to go to Tech like I did, and they
here
want to
are.
Stay.
But you know, VoTech, I didn't even. And then what Tennessee Tech is doing, the skills. You don't have to go to get a several-year degree. So there's something here for everyone.
You're exactly right. There is something here for everyone. And so, again, a community that embraces, that wide spectrum, the skilled trades to the very high-tech jobs. We have opportunities here. For our future talent,
we do, and we were talking off air a while ago about we've had, and this isn't a political remark, just a reality. part of having this quality community and location and waterfalls and everything is people have discovered us and they're moving here. I've got some good, great new friends.
Absolutely.
From California, sure. Michigan. Comment on your experience in the with that. How are you finding it?
You know, what most of those friends I make through church.
You do.
And maybe one of my roles there is somebody that's sort of involved in our first impressions, our ministry.
Yep.
For greeters and ushers. And so people, it's no secret that Tennessee is a great place to live, and certainly it's no secret that the Upper Cumberland is a great place to call home. And so many of my friends, my wife and I, are involved in a small group on Wednesday night, and practically everyone in the room, there'll probably be 15, 16, 17
we're
together on Wednesday. And and most all of them are from other parts of the country, California, Oregon, just really from all Pennsylvania. So from all over. And they've enjoyed, finding out about Cookeville, coming here and calling it home. And we embrace that.
We embrace that. You know, you're going back in Cookeville and with Eldon Leslie and the Chamber, even way back when, we had industry. We had industry here from all over the country. So our region is used to a point,
mm-hmm.
having people from all over the country and the world.
Sure, sure.
Move in here.
Yeah. Yeah, for years, to your point, Flowserve, Tutco, come to mind, companies that have been here for a very long time that have brought people in. But this recent influx, the post-COVID mm-hmm. influx, certainly has brought a lot of folks to our communities, and they bring, those people bring talent, they bring resources.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure to call many of those folks close friends. And professionally, we're meeting those people early in their process as they buy homes and
that's right.
home
you're,
insurance.
You're and seeing so it every day.
I'm seeing it every day.
You're part of the banking, the real estate, the insurance.
Sure.
You're dealing with it every day.
Kind of that front line to our community, whether I'm meeting them at church or meeting them in my office. And so I have benefited. My wife Kim and I have benefited from some great friendships, folks who found out about Cookeville, certainly about Tennessee, and now call it home, having moved here from some other part of the country.
Look in the crystal ball. Just look at Cookeville. We're moving toward 50,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Upper Cumberland, the region, the state. Let's talk a little bit more about the future.
I think, as I think about the opportunities and challenges that are ahead, maintaining the small town
don't lose
feel
what makes us special.
Correct. And the quality of life that comes from things, the natural beauty of our area, the sense of community that comes mm-hmm. From being in a town this size is certainly organizations like churches and other opportunities that we have to plug in and be involved in our community are important. Preserving that sense of small community will be one of our challenges moving forward. And, we're fortunate because geographically where we're positioned, resources like Tennessee Tech, a great healthcare system here, mm-hmm. we're fortunate that we're probably going to continue to see growth in jobs and employment opportunities. But those are very, very important. But when you think about, raising your family and where you call home, it's really those things that are kind of hard to put your hands on, but mm-hmm. but that we typically refer to as quality of life issues.
Yeah.
And so preserving those things that make Cookeville feel like a great place to live, work, play, study, raise a family, preserving those are important. And it takes being intentional. I think it takes being intentional as community members, and I think it takes being involved, being informed, and caring about your community. And so we've been good. We've been very fortunate to have leadership in the past, communitarians, public leaders, and so it's important that we continue to foster that kind of environment to preserve the kind of community that we all want to continue to call
home.
Sounds
like you're going for seven or eight generations or nine. George Hofford with Philip Baker. Thank you and good day.